Live on 99.1 The Sports Animal and Fox 43 Sports in Knoxville, this is Tennessee Sports Night.
On a Thursday night, we welcome you into Tennessee Sports Night with Heather Harrington. I am Brian Rice. Tonight on the show, we do a deep dive into the nitty-gritty of Tennessee and Mississippi State. What can the Vols do? What do they have to do against the Bulldogs on Saturday? We'll also get into some of the other storylines in college football, including, I'm not going to make the hand gesture, Heather, but horns might be down or not on Saturday. We'll give you a full preview of Thursday night football, which is coming up right after we're done here on Fox 43. And we will say a few words about the season of my Atlanta Braves, while Heather hopes that we aren't saying words over your Houston Astros.
No kidding.
A little later tonight.
Yeah, getting started, what, after 8 o'clock, right?
Yeah,
after 8
good,
o'clock.
Good vibes only for you.
Okay, yeah, good I vibes appreciate only. That, because I was blindsided by what happened to your Braves yesterday.
It's not great. Yeah. It's not great. But let's jump in, Tennessee football. Speaking of things that have been great at times, quarterback play for the Vols, but Brian Maurer came in. Value performance in the first half looked pretty good based on what they had him do. Limited some reads, made things simple for him, and to his credit, he executed. Then the second half rolled around, and it was not as good as Georgia made some adjustments. How can Brian Maurer carry his success from the first half of last week's game over to a complete effort against Mississippi State this week?
Yeah, well, I think you bring up a good word, and the word valiant. You know, he went out and he had a good effort. I liked his energy, and I liked some of the intangible things that Brian Maurer brings to the fold. And it was a spark. I mean, right, wrong, or indifferent, you saw the play of the offense, the other offensive players spark in a positive direction. You also saw the defensive players spark in a positive direction. So, but you also have to remember he had limited success, and with the run game still stagnant, the running backs are going to have to get involved, I think, sooner and more effectively early on against Mississippi State. I mean, Brian Maurer versus 17 dropbacks with pressure that Georgia brought was 2 of 12 for 22 yards. I got that stat from Jesse Simonton, who did a deep dive on VolQuest. And that's also, he was averaging 1.8 yards per attempt and an interception. That is not great. So you're going to have to figure out when Mississippi State makes those counter moves. I mean, this is why Jim Chaney is like one of the highest paid offensive coordinators in the country. You've got to make the other counter moves. I don't know if it's because they were just going to be limited because of they were playing Georgia, or if they are just limited because of Brian Maurer's knowledge of the playbook and being ready to play quarterback on the SEC level.
You know, you had 2 weeks to get him ready for it, but still, how ready can you be as a freshman? We've seen some of the numbers of the ups and downs of freshman quarterbacks at Tennessee over the years, but Brian Maurer did some positive things.
Absolutely.
But I think you're right in that it's still not good enough to win a football game.
And it wasn't even good enough to cover.
Right. And it's going to have to be better this week to be in the realm of playing a winning effort. And that's where they've got to start. I don't like to celebrate moral victories. I don't. And I don't think this is a program that does it. But I think we all have to realize that there are steps on the road to being where Tennessee wants to be. Brian Maurer took some of those on Saturday, but not nearly enough.
Yeah, I think you're right. He completed some big throws. You know, I think Callaway's double move, that was just super impressive. If they can have, you know, anything that's creative like that and well executed, can show up in the scoreboard. So they're going to have to get the running game, though, in my opinion, more involved from the get-go. I think Jim Chaney, and I heard somebody else say this week, and I agree, I think they went in with the game plan, we're going to have to throw the ball to keep Georgia from just, you know, pinning their ears back and coming after the quarterback. So they were able to do that for a while. But again, as counter moves were made by the Georgia defense, it's like Tennessee's offense just didn't have any answers.
I think the positive there is this week against Mississippi State, so far this year, they've been susceptible to runs right up the middle, and they've been susceptible to the deep pass. The good news is the offensive line to this point in this season has been able to protect better than last year. Still not where you need to be play winning football, but they've been better. Last year, nobody's given any quarterback enough time to make the move down the field.
Very true.
For Marcus Callaway. You kind of touched on it. What is the biggest thing Tennessee can do to help Brian Maurer have success?
This is not a smart aleck answer, and this was from a caller that we took on 180, and I 100% agree with him. It's not going to happen, but if you played Quavers Crouch at the running back spot, even if it's just 15 snaps a game, I think that that opens up so much that you can do, especially in the play action game. You saw him in that jumbo package with Greg Emerson have some success versus the Florida Gators. I don't even think you have to use him in short yardage situations. I mean, this is a guy that can just run over people, so he will be elusive and hard to tackle. And I say that tongue in cheek because they're not going to do it. But man, you see the need for a big back there, and it's just very apparent in the SEC.
Well, and I think that's why Tim Jordan moved back up in the rotation. Certainly, the fumble issues that the freshman has had in Eric Gray really, I think, contributed to that rotation, but really they want a big guy. And I think Tim Jordan, when you watch the film, is their best run or pass blocking running back. And so he comes in and gives them a little bigger look, but it's not that much bigger.
No.
I mean, you put him,
it's like 10 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You put him side by side with everybody else, and it's not that, but he is physical, and I think that helps. I think that's why you've seen him play more.
Yeah, I do want to see more of Eric Gray, though, because Eric Gray has shown the dynamic playmaking ability, so he has been elusive and hard to tackle in the limited amount that you've seen him. I think you need to see a little bit more of him, because if guys are at least getting to you, does he have a move that can shed those blockers?
What will injuries to Riley Locklear and Brandon Kennedy mean on this offensive line? We don't know what the status of either is. I think based on what we've seen in a limited amount of practice, it's much more likely that Kennedy plays than Locklear.
Yeah.
But what do those injuries mean for an O-line that's better but still not anywhere near where it needs to be?
Yeah, I talked to David Ubbin earlier this week, and he's like 90% sure Locklear is going to be out. So that means Ryan Johnson most likely will be in. And Ryan Johnson seems to be the backup for both of those guys. Yeah. So if Kennedy then gets banged up and Johnson's already playing, then what does the contingency plan look like? Any injuries to an offensive line that was developing some chemistry are definitely going to cause Tennessee to maybe take a step back. So again, it's scheming it up. Is Dom Wood Anderson in to block more? You know, are they going to have to go into more max protect sets? It'll be interesting to see how Jim Chaney handles it.
And this may be a tough question for us to answer without seeing it first, but is Tennessee ready or better prepared to handle in-game adversity than they were at the start of the year? You've seen them be affected at times. I thought against Georgia, they continued to play hard. Are they ready to handle in-game adversity?
Well, you know, there's no proof that they can. At this point, I do like everybody's attitudes. And if you're talking about, I want to go in with somebody that's going to get me through adversity, having Juwan Jennings on your team, I think, is definitely a positive, because that guy just has a ton of fight in him. So I would say, I would lean towards, yeah, maybe they can overcome some. Can they overcome multiple instances of adversity, like a couple of picks or something like that? It didn't look that way in the BYU game, and I don't know how it would look for a freshman quarterback.
It's going to be interesting to see how he reacts to adversity, because you didn't see him face a lot of it in the Georgia game until the game started to go sideways late.
Yeah, and then it looked like he was dead on the sideline after that one corner blitz.
Have been.
I mean, oh my gosh. So yeah, I mean, how can you handle stuff like that? Mississippi State's going to bring a lot of pressure.
And we see on the screen the play you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. It was brutal. I mean, he got over to the sideline, and it looked like he almost passed out.
Yeah. Don't take too many hits like that in the SEC and stand in. But to his credit as well, Jared Garantano came in and was ready both when Maurer hurt his arm early in the game and then on later in the game. Yep. That's Heather Harrington with Brian Rice. We come back on the other side. We're going to go up the aisle and see what we can find for this weekend in college football next at Tennessee Sports Night.
This segment of Tennessee Sports Night is brought to you by United Grocery Outlet. Shop us first.
And we welcome you back into a Thursday edition of Tennessee Sports Night with Heather Harrington. I am Brian Rice. All right, let's go through the checkouts. Some stories in the world of sports, and we're going to start with one deep in the heart of Texas, the Red River Shootout. You're not supposed to call it that anymore, but I still am.
Because rivalry is too hard to say after Red River.
Yeah.
It's awful.
I tried to say it on our show yesterday, and no more. It's the shootout. It still is. You can't go horns down. Texas can say horns up. Oklahoma can't say horns down. You are from the state of Texas. I don't like Oklahoma, but Texas is making it impossible for me to pull for them this week.
I know. Well, and coupled with the fact that, and I heard you guys talking about it on the EA show earlier this week, that Jalen Hurts just seems to be one of the best stories in college football right now with his character and then now his performance on the field. I'm not going to root for Oklahoma because my blood just will not let me. But I get what you're saying. I mean, the whole Texas takes it to the nth degree and they try to get super offended. I did love Tom Herman's quote that was released over the text messages that said, okay, cool, hook him. He's just like, all right, just get out of my face. But yeah, if you're getting seriously offended by people doing the horns down, just keep on stepping.
Just move on.
Yeah.
Just move on.
You don't need that much bulletin board material to play in this game.
No, you shouldn't. It's a rivalry. It may be at a neutral site, but it's a rivalry. Just take it on. All right. Story number two, a big matchup in the SEC this week takes place Saturday night down in Baton Rouge, and they are going to be well lubricated by the time this game kicks off.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. If I could be anywhere Saturday night, it would be down in Baton Rouge.
So here's the pertinent question coming out of this one. Where does the winner of undefeated LSU and undefeated Florida belong in the college football playoff discussion? If not the rankings, the discussion at least.
I honestly think, and I think you can make this argument for both teams either way, because one would be going from 5-1, one would be going from 7-1, which is a huge jump. It's not going to happen, but should it happen? Heck yes, it should. Either team that wins this game should vault up to at least number two, if not number one in the polls, because they would each team would have two wins over top 10, legitimate top 10 teams. And if Florida is able to pull it off on the road as a 14-point underdog, I'm sorry, but people are going to have to start believing in the Gators just being better than an average Gators team. So I think whoever wins deserves to definitely get into the top four spots. I just don't know if Florida will have that ability.
I think people are far too beholden to their rankings week by week. And well, I don't want to move them up too far. Well, who cares?
Ohio State's biggest win is a blowout over Michigan State, who is barely ranked. Who cares?
And is no longer ranked now. They were 24th when they played them. I agree with you 100% on that. Let's go to the NFL briefly. There are four, count them, four winless teams still in the NFL. The Dolphins may be the worst team I've ever seen. Washington just fired their coach. The Jets have lost a quarterback to mono. Cincinnati is Cincinnati. Heather, who has the best chance to get win number one?
I would imagine that it would be Cincinnati, just because they've got, I know Andy Dalton has to be probably the worst quarterback in the league right now statistically. I would think that they would have a better nucleus around them. And still, when you have playmakers like an A.J. Green, there's some ability there. So we'll see what happens. So this is a team that went to the playoffs for like six straight years. They just couldn't get past the first round. I will say, though, for this weekend, the Redskins playing Miami. Yeah. I think Miami has been instructed to for sure lose, so I'm going to go with the Washington Redskins on this one, maybe getting a little bump after Jay Gruden was fired.
But here's how bad Washington and Miami are.
Oh, it's terrible.
They play each other, and you picked, and I agreed with you, another one of the winless teams to get their first win first. That's how bad those two teams are. The Dolphins, I think, are epically bad. The Jets are just snake-bitten, and I feel bad for the Jets. The only positive I can say for them, they play in a division with the Dolphins. So they got two games they got a shot at.
Yeah.
And maybe Sam Darnold's spleen will be in better shape.
I've had mono. It is terrible. I bet he's lost 25 pounds.
Was your spleen in okay shape?
Afterwards, yeah. Yeah. I think so.
I love that we're getting weekly updates on the state of Sam Darnold's spleen. Our spleens are fine. She's Heather. I'm Brian. We come back. Preview Thursday Night Football next on Tennessee Sports Night.
And now, back to Tennessee Sports Night on Fox 43 Sports and 99.1, the sports animal.
Everybody celebrate. It's Thursday night. There's an NFL game coming up. Pre-game starts as soon as Heather and I are done here on Tennessee Sports Night. It is tonight what would have been a big matchup in some years past. The Giants and the Patriots. Heather Harrington, though, it's a little luster off of it. No more Eli Manning. The Giants are not very good. But does Danny Dimes have anything for the Patriots?
Well, you would like to think that In a perfect world, he wouldn't be scared. I mean, this isn't Tom Brady of old. I don't think that they have to score 40 plus points to be able to win this game. But I will say this, that Patriots defense looks like it might be one of the best in the NFL that we have seen in a long time. And if I'm Danny Dimes and I'm going in without three of my biggest weapons, which is something that you're going to mention here in a second, I would be a little terrified.
I don't know if I should ask this before or after we talk about the injuries, but I'm going to ask it before. Does the short week help or hurt the Giants in this matchup? Patriots are naturally good on defense. They also don't have a lot of time to prep for you, but you don't have your weapons, and you may have had a couple of them if you'd had a couple more days. Does this help or hurt?
I don't know. Well, it depends. What tapes does Bill Belichick have of the Giants? How long have they been game planning? I'm just kidding, Patriots fans. I like Tom Brady, too. But, you know, the Patriots are the NFL leaders, being +7 right now in the turnover battle. So they just have the ability to capitalize on interceptions. And then on the flip side of that, Tom Brady doesn't make mistakes. So the Giants are really going to have to throw a lot at New England defensively, in my opinion, to be able to neutralize what Tom Brady is doing, because even though he's not making mistakes, he's also not making huge plays that you've seen him do in this past.
The Patriots have some injuries going into tonight.
Definitely.
But the Giants are without Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, a couple other guys are questionable. Mm-hmm. Those three guys represent a huge part of your offense and a huge part of what you're going to ask your rookie quarterback to do. Now you're asking him to do it without all those guys. How do the Giants manage that?
I don't know. We'll see what they do from a backup running back perspective. And, you know, this isn't the first week that they've been without Saquon Barkley. So, you know, they've got some chemistry there. And again, Danny Dimes, he's 2-1 with the Giants at this point as the starter. So it's not all bleak. But again, taking away Shepard and now Ingram, that can be a blow, especially Ingram, when you're looking for that security blanket around the first down marker. That's who quarterbacks like to target, and not having that big tight end there can be worrisome.
All right, you mentioned something that made Patriot fans mad. I'm going to make them mad and ask you this question. Tom Brady has looked like old Tom sometimes. He's also looked pretty pedestrian at times this year. Is this a decline, or have these early season struggles been a speed bump that he'll get past?
Well, don't forget, even when Peyton Manning's, you know, abilities had very much declined, they were still able to go on and win a Super Bowl.
Correct.
So we're not talking about the Patriots not winning a lot of games. Is Tom Brady the guy he was 5 years ago? No, he's not. None of us are. I mean, it's just physically against how Mother Nature operates, no matter how much avocado ice cream you eat and how great you are to your body. So, yeah, he is not the Tom Brady of old, but he can still make a lot of plays as long as he stays healthy.
He makes the throws, and they're going to continue to be good this year. If he doesn't,
And a lot of those are short. You know, he makes those short, high percentage passes to Edelman and some of those quick underneath guys. So I think they're fine at this point.
And we mentioned in the last segment that division they play in. They get two games against Miami, two games against the Jets. If Tom Brady is up and down over the course of the season, you're going to have a lot of opportunities to get that, you know, humming a little bit, get in a rhythm that he finds right, because Peyton Manning had to do that in Denver and find what was right for him.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, has he been downgraded to a game manager? Absolutely not. He's just not the guy that's probably going to throw it down the field to Randy Moss for 50 touchdowns in a season. That those days are behind him.
On the other side, a requiem for the Braves and some hope for the Astros. That's next on Tennessee Sports Night.
And now, back to Tennessee Sports Night on Fox 43 Sports and 99.1, the Sports Animal.
All right, we wrap things up here on Tennessee Sports Night as we do every night with Last Call. She's Heather Harrington. I am Brian Rice. The Atlanta Braves season has come to a conclusion. Ooh, what a first inning last night.
That was absolutely brutal. I got from right around here, close to my house, which is about a 25-minute drive. And I checked the phone once at a stoplight, and it was already 8-0.
Yeah.
I was blown away.
Not great. But the Braves season over. The Cardinals are moving on. They face the Nationals, who upset the Dodgers in extra innings last night. Brian McCann, though, called it a career after last night's game. Just kind of a low-key announcement that said he was done. A guy that came up with the Braves as part of that baby Braves movement.
Yep.
But was able to come back for the last year of his career.
Yeah, what did you think of that? Because it was kind of sad. I mean, to know that Brian McCann isn't going to be back there catching, it's just, it's so weird.
His numbers are not nearly as good as the other guys that have their numbers on the facade of now SunTrust Park, but I would not be opposed to nobody else wearing 16. Just for what he meant building and what he meant coming back and being able to play with these guys and being a leader for a team that should be set for the future, I think he means a lot, and I hope he stays involved.
You know, the best thing I think for the Braves is they can, again, go into this offseason and hopefully address the bullpen issues that plague them at different times through the season. But not only that, they're also going to go into this offseason with a chip on their shoulder, like they didn't accomplish what they wanted to, and that could be good for next year.
Your Astros are currently underway against the Rays, scoreless in the bottom of the first. Gerrit Cole for the Stros. Tyler Glasnow, who came on as the season went on for the Rays. Mm-hmm. Confidence level here for Game 5?
Well, you know, anything can happen. I do like the fact that the Astros are obviously at home. Cole has been really good this season, so we'll see what happens. But the Rays, they've got great bats. So if they get hot and the Astros go cold again like they did in Games 2 and 3, I don't know what's going to happen.
And both of the favorites lost at home last night. One in extra innings, obviously. One after one inning. It should be fun to watch tonight.
Yeah, so, I've enjoyed it.
We'll get in it. And if they're out, if the Astros are out, that would be the top seed in both leagues.
Here, Yankees, have another World Series.
Oh, I don't need that.
Yankees card. That's who I think it's going
to
be.
It's like saying just hand it to Alabama and Clemson again, which unfortunately we may. Heather, great stuff tonight. We'll see you tomorrow on Sports 180.
All right, thanks.
You can join us here on Sports Radio WNML all day long tomorrow. And, of course, it'll wrap up here, the Friday edition, another Breast Cancer Awareness edition of Tennessee Sports Night tomorrow night. We'll see you then.